Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tahara Rahman is young, talented, and ambitious. She's been steadily working and climbing the ladder of television news, recently moving from production into the role of an on-air reporter. Now, this story may not sound remarkable. It's the story of many young women and men all over the country. But it's remarkable because Tahara Rahman is the first television news reporter in the United States to wear a hijab, the traditional head covering worn by some Muslim women. And she is on the air in the Quad Cities on WHBF-TV, Local 4, the CBS affiliate. She is also on the air with me right now. Hello, Tahara.
Hi, Charity. I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And I want to talk with you. First, you grew up in Illinois, right?
Yes.
So when you were growing up, was there a strong Muslim community in the town you grew up in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Illinois, because being in a Chicago area suburb, I think it manifests itself into being a very not only diverse community, but one that's home to a lot of Muslims. So it's a diverse Muslim community. We had Arab Muslims, we had Indian Muslims, which I am one of, and then we had different African cultures as well. So we definitely had a strong presence.
And when you were growing up, you actually went to a private Muslim school, right?
Correct. Yep. I went to a private Muslim school for most of elementary, junior high, and high school.
So when you were a child and you were surrounded by other kids who were going through a similar experience, who shared your faith for the most part, how old were you when you first started wearing a hijab?
I wore it on and off as a kid. You know, just as a little girl, you want to be just like your mom. And so I would wear it whenever I felt like it. But I officially started wearing it full time, I want to say when I was the summer after fifth grade. So it was maybe like 11.
And was that your decision to make at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. So I knew through the teachings of my religion that, you know, once you come of age, you are supposed to wear it once you hit puberty. So that's what I did. My mom did tell me before that when I was wearing it on and off, and she told me, you know, you're still little and you're going to have the chance to wear it for the rest of your life. You know, and I think she's trying to prepare me for the fact that, you know, you're little now and you're with me, but one day you'll be on your own wearing a headscarf, and it takes on a totally new meaning, especially in the political climate that we live in. So I knew that going into it, wearing it, my mom had kind of already softened me to that possibility that it wasn't going to be easy.
And when you start wearing the headscarf, as you said, it's something that happens around puberty. So is it, does it feel like an important rite of passage?
Yeah, it does for me. And I know that a lot of women, because that is the ruling, but because it's also your choice and it's between you and God, there's a lot of women who don't wear it, even my own family. Lots of my aunts and cousins don't wear the headscarf. And for me, I did feel like it was a rite of passage, and it was me becoming a woman, a Muslim woman.
When you started wearing it full time, you were going to a Muslim school. So did it change your life very much to wear the headscarf when you were 11?
Not really. I think it was a really good place to start and build my foundation, because I felt that I had basically the best of both worlds. I was able to wear my headscarf comfortably and then also live my life as an American teen outside of school and, you know, kind of in my bubble, if we're being honest, of being in Naperville, Illinois with my family. That's not to say that I didn't see racism in action. I definitely got a taste of that, especially post 9/11. There were a lot of incidents, and I knew that it wasn't always going to be, everyone wasn't always going to be welcoming.
Incidents directed at you?
At me, my mom.
Like what kind of thing? What did people do?
Well, I think this was before I had started wearing it. Maybe I was 9 or 10, and my mom and I were in the car, and we were stopped at a stoplight, and it was just in our hometown. It wasn't anywhere new. And a car pulled up next to us at the light and basically started making obscene gestures at my mom. And you could hear them. It was a nice day out, so we had our windows kind of rolled down, and my mom slowly rolled them up as they were shouting things and basically, you know, telling us to go back home and quote unquote and all that kind of stuff. Right. So
that would be so scary as a kid. It would be scary as an adult too. Did it scare you?
Yeah, definitely. As a kid, when you see that and your face goes red, your heart starts beating, you don't know. I mean, they're two grown men and you're a little girl. So even though you're a car apart, it's just, you never know.
Now, you went to Loyola University, which is a Catholic university. What was it like to wear a hijab at a Catholic university?
You know, it was actually pretty awesome. Loyola is big in the news right now, obviously, for the Ramblers. Mm-hmm. But we also have they did a really good job of creating a culture of acceptance of all religions. And I say that because I felt very comfortable wearing a headscarf anywhere on campus. And there was a lot of interfaith mingling. So I was able to go to a few Catholic services, church services, and my friends who were Catholic came to a mosque service with me because we had a mosque on campus. We also had a Hindu temple room and a Jewish reflection room. So it was a really great experience. And I think mostly what it was is that it gives you the sense of it's okay to be religious. You can stick to your ideals and your morals as a faith, and then also go to school like everyone else and talk about, you know, the latest episode of The Vampire Diaries or whatever it is.
When did you first start thinking that you wanted to go into television news?
It was at Loyola. I took a broadcast journalism class probably my sophomore or junior year. And up until that point, I knew I wanted to do journalism, but I just figured and assumed that I would be in print or digital. And so I was writing at the paper for the paper, and I had at that time been the news editor. And when I took the broadcast class, I loved it so much. I loved even editing the video, let alone being in the field and capturing people's emotions on camera and using their words to tell the story along with mine. There are so many elements that I really loved about it. And so I decided that I wanted to pursue that as a career. And I was told by a lot of different people that it wasn't going to be easy. And I'm glad for that because I needed that. I didn't need anything to be sugar-coated for reality because once that set in.
Right. It's not easy for anyone. I mean, this is one of those fields that's highly competitive for not very good pay.
Yes.
So it's not going to be easy for anybody. But clearly, you know, when you were looking at television news at that point, you didn't see anybody that looked like you.
Exactly. And I found inspiration, I think, from a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. Like every single woman I saw, I looked up to and I thought, okay, what good can I take from this? What can I learn? And even people of color. And not even in the journalism industry or the TV news industry, but in America in general, I think we've come a long way as far as diversity and in the workplace, whichever workplace it is. And so because I saw that happening and more, like every year we see, you know, different barriers being broken in the Oscars and in Hollywood in general, as far as directors and everything. And so, I mean, even our first Black president, and I felt like, okay, I don't see anyone who looks like me on TV right now, but why can't it happen? Why can't it be me? So all those little things happening as I was growing up just gave me hope that, okay, this is possible. Anything, literally anything is possible in America. And I'm an American and I believe in all these same values and I don't see why it couldn't happen.
You mentioned that you have family members who've chosen not to wear the hijab. Have you ever struggled with it? Have you ever thought this path would be easier if I chose not to wear it?
That's definitely a thought. And I think it would be naive to think that anyone you see, a woman that you see who wears a hijab hasn't struggled with it or isn't struggling with it. There are definitely days where, even days where I wake up and I'm like, oh, I think my hair looks good today. I wish I could just keep it out like this. But, you know, that's part of this, that's part of your journey as a Muslim. That's part of your struggle. And I think that it definitely would have been easier. Not to say that it would have been easy, because as you said, this industry is very competitive in general. But I think it would have been easier. It would have been less of an adjustment for viewers, right, to see a brown girl without a scarf versus a brown girl with a scarf. I mean, I'm hitting so many different minorities there, like in one picture. So I did definitely think about that. But in the end, I thought, why, it shouldn't have to clash, especially not here.
As you were working your way up the ladder, you've taken the traditional role, producer to reporter. When you were applying for the on-air reporter position, were you concerned that this would, although discrimination is illegal, that this would count against you?
By not getting the job?
Right.
Yeah, I definitely did. I think that in a lot of ways, for me, I've learned to empathize on all sides of the issue. And so for me personally, obviously you're thinking, I am just like anyone else. I've worked so hard and I am as qualified, if not better qualified than any other outside candidate that they can bring in. But, and then at the same time, you have to also think that if you're a news director or a general manager, you are taking a risk. And that's not your fault that it's a risk. It's just the fact that there are negative connotations and perceptions among your viewers that you can't necessarily control in one fell swoop. And by putting a reporter on air that symbolizes to them so many different things that might not be good, you're risking a lot of viewership. So I did understand that, and I was candid about that as well. In my application, I said, hey, I know this is different, but I think the pros outweigh the potential cons. I think that I bring a lot more to the table than, and I said in my email, I said, I think that I can flourish much more than I'm doing right now in my current role. And so I think just my conviction and my past, my work ethic really ended up speaking for itself. And at the end of the day, what they told me when they gave me the position was, listen, you are the best candidate and you are the best qualified for this job. If anyone gives us any heat for it, we'll say, well, look at her stories, look at her journalism. If there's nothing wrong with that, then we don't see a problem.
So you're on the air in the Quad Cities, and I think that probably people have been expecting this glass ceiling to get broken. I think people would have been less surprised to hear that it happened in New York City or in California and LA or something like that. You're in the Quad Cities. You're in Iowa and Illinois. How have your viewers responded to you?
I know. I've heard that so much. People are just like, oh, really? Not in Chicago where you're from? But I think that it goes back to that sense of Midwest hospitality, to be honest. And I mean, everyone here works so hard. I mean, maybe even harder than I do. You've got to manage your crops and you've got to watch the yields and keep an eye on the weather. And even with the tariffs going on, farmers here are worried about what that could mean for their soybean trade or corn. So I think that when they see someone and who has been working behind the scenes for so long or has put in that hard work to get to where they are, I think they end up not only accepting it, but welcoming it with open arms. And it's been truly amazing to be in the field. I mean, I've been behind the scenes and at a desk making calls for the past roughly 2 years. And now that I'm out and about. I love meeting people, so many different people in the Quad Cities. And I would argue nearly every single day that I go out on a shoot and do an interview, people will come up to me and congratulate me and tell me that they love my stories, which is so amazing. And I just could not be more grateful for the community here.
Now, of course, people all over the world have taken notice of this, and you've heard from people from far away as well. And of course, we know online people can be incredibly cruel. Have you had some negative responses as well?
Absolutely. And we all saw it coming. I was bracing myself for it. My parents as well as my bosses here at Local 4 were very adamant that I knew about safety protocol and what to do if I felt uncomfortable in a situation and what to do. And no matter what the story is, you just get out of there. You get in your car and you call the police or whatever. So we were all prepared, but we were optimistic that it would be well received, but we were prepared for the worst. And luckily that hasn't happened yet. And the worst that we've seen, I think, so far is just online, just messages saying that people weren't going to watch anymore because of this, or leaving Local 4 because of me being on air. And then personally, on my Facebook and Instagram profiles, people have left messages saying stuff like, you know, if she wants to be American, she needs to look it like it or get out and stuff like that. And so it's all stuff I've heard before growing up as an American Muslim woman. So of course, it stings a little bit every time, but I have learned to focus more on the positives because there is much, much more positive, and kind of just let the negative go. I don't delete those comments. I let them sit there because I think it's important. I mean, if you feel comfortable saying something negative and frankly racist, then you should feel comfortable with anyone in the world seeing it.
Well, Tahera, thank you so much for talking with me today. And next time we talk, we'll talk about your work and not your headscarf, okay?
Yes, I would love that. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot for your time. Tahera Rahman is a reporter for WHBF-TV Local 4, the CBS affiliate in the Quad Cities. She is also the first television news reporter in the United States to wear a hijab. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.